During this Holy Week, we are blessed to have in our midst representatives from the Lutheran Bible translators who are working to translate this narrative and the rest of the scriptures into languages so that this message may be heard, including representing them is Dr. Michael Rodewald, the executive director, one of our graduates from our PhD program. So we welcome them. He will be presenting during convocation hour. And they led him away. Luke's narrative of Christ's crucifixion that we just heard proclaims Jesus as the compassionate shepherd seeking the lost even while nailed to the cross. One would think that of all times Jesus might have retreated from speaking to the needs of others, it would have been in the midst of his suffering, in the midst of suffering physical pain that racked his body and the spiritual trauma of suffering the wrath of God for the sin of the world. And yet, surely at a time like this, we would think he would tune out the world and retreat to within himself, but not Jesus. And Luke makes that very clear. When the multitude is mourning as Jesus makes his way to Golgotha, Jesus deflects their sympathy away from himself. Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. About those who had just nailed him to the cross, Jesus proclaims a gracious plea to the Father. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Here, Jesus is embodying his teaching about loving his enemies, even loving those who persecute him. This is not only teaching he imparted to his disciples, this is the life that he lives, even in the death that he dies. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. This is our compassionate and gracious Savior and Shepherd. If he says this about those who nailed him to the cross, he also says it about those whose sins put him on that cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. In fact, this is what he will say in a few minutes as we come to his table, where we receive that flesh crucified for our sins, the blood poured out for our sins. Father, forgive them. There is much irony in all the talk of this crucifixion narrative about Jesus saving himself. He saved others, let him save himself if he is the Christ of God, his chosen one. The irony is that he has chosen as the chosen one to be crucified and to stay on the cross in order to save those who are wagging their tongues at him and all the rest of sinful humanity. The irony is that he could have easily saved himself from crucifixion. Instead, he willingly chooses crucifixion in order to save the world, including you. In the midst of the mocking cries to save himself, even the cries from one of the thieves crucified near him, comes the compassionate exchange with the other dying thief that has become the centerpiece of Luke's narrative of Jesus' death. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom, is the plea. And Jesus' response, compassionate shepherd to the end, truly I say to you, you will be with me today in paradise. Here is the deathbed confession. Here is the beggar pleading for mercy. Here is the sinner with childlike faith, hoping for compassion. And here is the compassionate shepherd, the merciful judge, the beautiful Savior. Today you will be with me in paradise. Grace, mercy, compassion, everything that Jesus is doing as he suffers on the cross is expressed to this individual sinner. If the fear of death grips you as you face it head on in the future, Jesus is the shepherd who is with you in the valley of the shadow of death. He walked that path and conquered it for you in this crucifixion. And he says to a sinner like you, today you will be with me in paradise. Luke's narrative about the hours of darkness, approximately noon to 3 p.m., depicts Jesus as suffering silently the weight of creation's sins, the righteous one taking the place of the unrighteous, guilty masses. This silence is broken finally with the tearing of the temple curtain in two and the simple final prayer of Jesus in a loud voice before his death, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. There is no panic in the face of physical death. There is the confident faith of the Son who knows the loving Father to whom he is offering his spirit. Here we see of whom John wrote in his first epistle, God is love, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It is because of this compassionate shepherd, what he went through in death for us, and then was raised victorious, that you can live confidently in this same grace, that you can eat and drink mercy with him at his table today confidently, that you can go to sleep confidently, that you can even face your physical death, your tomb, confidently, with childlike confidence. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Or, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray thee, Lord, my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray thee, Lord, my soul to take. If I should live for other days, I pray thee, Lord, to guide my ways. Then Joseph of Arimathea went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then he took it down, wrapped it in a linen shroud, and laid him in a tomb cut in stone where no one had ever been laid. In life, no house, no home, my Lord in earth might have. In death, no friendly tomb, but what a stranger gave. What may I say? Heaven was his home, but mine the tomb wherein he lay. Here might I stay and sing, no story so divine. Never was love, dear King, never was grief like thine. This is my friend, in whose sweet praise I all my days could gladly spend. Amen.